Your Bibles, please turn to Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33, we're going to read verses 26 through 28 together. Deuteronomy 33, verses 26 through 28. I plan on starting the invitation at noon or a minute or two before, so don't you worry. I'll crash land the plane if I'm not there, but I am going to get us out on time today. Deuteronomy 33, verses 26 through 28. I'll read verses 26 and 27. You join me on verse 28. All right? Deuteronomy 33, 26 through 28. You join me on verse 28. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy before thee, and shall destroy them. Now, everybody in verse 28, ready? Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. And let's pray. Father, we need you today. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, we need this truth in a very special way, in a very real way. Lord, I pray that you just bless the special with the choir, bless the preaching of your word, help us to please you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I am going to ask for your attention this morning. I want you to put your phones up, your pens up, everything up, and I want you to listen to me this morning. To me, I want to help in such a special way today, and just focus your eyes here. I'm going to chat with you for a little bit. I have such a wonderful truth that I want you to get today. This is one of the sweetest, most precious truths in all the Bible to me, and I think it will bless you as much as it has me. In a few days, Wednesday night after I'm done with the Bible study, I'm going to leave and drive to Lexington, Kentucky. I'll spend Thursday and see my daughter, and I'm going to sit in a class with Brother Fugit and hear chapel with Brother Fugit and spend a little bit of time with my daughter before she goes to work and then catch her after work a little bit. And I'll be honest with you, I've been missing my daughter like any parent would miss their daughter at college. And she said to me just this week, she said, "Daddy, I can't wait for you to get here because I need to get a big hug." And I said, "I can't wait to get there and give you a big hug." She said, "I'm not going to let go." I said, "That's okay." I said, "You're going to have a hard time flying to Montana hanging out the window." But I love to know that my almost 20-year-old daughter still wants a hug from her daddy. Just does something to me. Now I tease her. I told her this week once, she said, "Daddy, I love you." I said, "You don't love me as much as you love Brandon." She said, "That's not true." I said, "Yes, it is. You're going to leave me for him someday." She said, "But I loved you first." And I tease her about it a little bit. But I'll be honest, I kind of hardly wait. I know when I hear, I was there before and she just about knocked three people over to get to me. Matter of fact, two of them she did knock over, and she didn't care. But I can't wait to put my arms around her and give her a big old hug and say, "I love you." Every Sunday morning, Brother Brian walks up these steps. He walks up those steps and he says, "Preacher, I love you." Sticks that big old grizzly bear paw out there and grabs a hold of me and puts his arm and kind of do a man hug, amen. Not one of these, but one arm hug kind of thing. And that big old tough man says, "Preacher, I love you. Brother Brian, you may never know how much that means to me every week. I can't tell you." Brother Stoltz, those little bus kids. Every Sunday morning, I stand out here and hold the door for them. They jump off that bus, and especially the little ones. The bigger ones don't do it as much because they don't love me. But no, that's not true. They all greet me, though, very respectfully. But the little ones, they come over and, "Preacher, I love you. Preacher, I love you." And some of them will hug me. I can't tell you what that does to me. It just moves my heart. It really does. The teenagers, they say it a different way. And I don't hug the teenage girls. The guys I'll tease with a little bit, but they all say, "Preacher, I love you." Wow. You men and ladies, I wish you knew how much. I just sat at the bonfire last night and just watching everybody yak, pick on each other, just be yourselves, and young people around flying around playing and running four-wheelers and all that other kind of good stuff, and just enjoying the family environment that we had there. Our arms are used for so much. They help us with balance. They help us hold things. They keep us from hurting ourselves worse if we fall, like we did near the fire last night. Scared us all to death thinking somebody fell in the fire, but she didn't. They give us a little bit of leverage. They help us hold big loads. And they help us express our love. They really do. I'll be honest with you. And listen to this. One of the sweetest statements in that big old black book right there is what we read this morning. To me, one of the sweetest verses in all of Scripture is Deuteronomy 33:27. "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Whew. God's wonderful arms are not just a refuge, but they're there forever to hold you. I was thinking as I prepared the sermon, and what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Can I tell you something, folks? The everlasting arms of God are there to hold you when somebody else is not there. If somebody has forsaken you, God's arms are there to hold you. If you've lost someone that you love dearly, you miss their hugs. Can I tell you something? God's everlasting arms are there. Young person, life's not been fair to you. Maybe your home has been disrupted by divorce or forsaken. Can I tell you something? God's everlasting arms are there to hold you. Just as I love holding my daughter, just as I look forward to seeing Brother Brian come up those steps every Sunday. Did you know, just as much as I look forward to those bus kids jumping off the bus, "Preacher, I love you." Those little ones in my wife's little 3 to 5 year old Sunday school class, "Preacher, I love you." And they're grabbing my leg. Most of them aren't tall enough to reach my waist yet. And that's pretty short. God looks forward to holding you, his child. You realize God looks forward to holding you? He has his everlasting arms underneath, ready to hold you at any moment. When I spend time at the bedside of someone that I know is saved and is going to heaven, I won't use the word ritual, but I do something very much the same. I usually say, "You're about to go to heaven. You're probably going to get there before I do. And if you do, would you do me a favor? First of all, would you tell Jesus I love him? And would you give him a hug?" That's what I tell every person that I know is near death, that is going to heaven. I don't know how many hugs I've sent to heaven. Look at me. But may I say this? I believe many of them have gotten to heaven and said, my preacher wanted me to give you a hug. I can't put my arms around him right now, but I sure can send the hugs ahead. Now, everybody listen. Look this way. I know you're listening when I can see your eyeballs. How sweet it is when the call comes. Preacher, they've just passed, or if I'm there at the bedside, doesn't take me long to remember what I asked them to do and think, Jesus just got a hug from me. Today, I'm going to talk to you about these everlasting arms of God. Number one, God has arms that are there to protect you. Let me say that again. God has arms that are there to protect you. When my daughter has a bad day, she'll call or she'll text me and say, Daddy, it's been a rough day. And I'll say, close your eyes real tight. Picture my arms around you. I'm squeezing you real tight. Or I'll send her a little, I don't know what the right word is. GIF, is that the right word on texting? I'm learning all kinds of new languages here. I send her a little picture on her phone by text that says a hug or something like that. And she'll say, Daddy, I needed that. I'm thinking, yeah, I needed it too, but you're not here. But may I say something? Do you know God's always there to protect you? God is always there to protect you. You remember when you were a little kid, getting an argument with somebody? Well, my daddy could beat your daddy. No, my daddy's stronger than your daddy. No, my daddy's stronger than your daddy. You know, that's the way boys fight. Well, my daddy could whip you. Well, my daddy could whip your daddy. No, my daddy could whip you. You know, all those kind of things. Can I tell you something? Christian, our daddy's going to whip the daddy of this world. Our daddy's going to whip the devil. And he has his everlasting arms around you to protect you. I'll read a verse to you in Isaiah. You need not turn there. It'd take you too long. But Isaiah chapter 51, verse number 5, the Bible says, my righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and my arms shall judge the people, the isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. Can I tell you something? Child of God, you have nothing to fear, because we can trust in God's everlasting arms. They will never fail you nor forsake you. Young people, you never have to seek a hug from the wrong place because God can take care of you. Older person that's fearful, can I tell you something? God has his everlasting arms around you. You're not as steady as you once used to be, not as strong as you used to be, but God's protection is still there. Now, wait a minute. It doesn't mean he keeps you from all problems. We're sinners. We're going to reap for what we have sown. But he said, I'll protect you. I'll protect you. He covers us from above as a hen covereth her chicks. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that God brings us together and puts his wings over us. The wings of a chicken are her arms. Did you ever see a chicken with baby chicks? When something comes near, those little chicks will run next to mama and she'll squat down and put her wings out and cover them up so that they can't be seen. God puts his arms under us to keep us from falling. Bible says that like an eagle, like he catches us on eagle's wings. That's the arms of the eagle. He may let us fledge and fall for a little while, but he'll always swoop down and catch you before you hit the bottom. Can I tell you something, child of God? You may be falling, you may be a little bit unsteady, but God's got his arms there and you will not hit bottom. He puts his arms around us to show how much he loves us. Can I tell you something? You can trust God. Let me say that again. You can trust God. Brother June, we don't have to trust in the world. We can trust God. You know, you can't trust the bank, but you can trust God. You know, you definitely know you can't trust politicians, but you can trust God. You don't have to trust government. You can trust God. You don't even have to trust the church, but you can trust God. Folks, you can't trust your education, but you can trust God. Now, listen to me very carefully here. God's arms are there to protect you. Young people, listen to me. I watch young people by the hundreds and thousands. They run around schools, hanging all over each other, hugging on each other, fornicating with each other, starved for love, and they're looking for love in the wrong place. They're looking for protection in the wrong place. God's arms are there to protect you. You don't need somebody else. Number two will not be as fast as number one. Don't worry. God has arms of comfort. God has arms of protection, but God has arms of comfort. Luke chapter 10, verse number 16, Mark chapter 9, verse number 36. We won't take time to turn there, but you find in both of those places that Jesus was walking in a crowd and sat down, and a bunch of children ran over to hug him. And the disciples got in front of them and said, No, you can't bother him. Don't bother Jesus. And Jesus said, suffer not the little children to come unto me. He said, let them go, fellas. And the Bible says that Jesus put them in his arms, and picked them up and put them on his lap and talked to them for a while. Whew. Brother June, the day I get too big of a preacher to where I can't kneel down and hug one of our bus kids, time for me to quit. I hope to God, Brother Stoltz, the day never comes where I ever think, oh, another snotty-nosed bus kid. You know what my thoughts are? Let's bring 100 more. Amen. The dry cleaner can clean the snot off. I'd rather have them here. Might have to put a little extra elbow grease into cleaning the walls and the floors and everything else, but bring them on. Jesus said, suffer not the children to come unto me. I never want to lose the desire to love on the children of our church. You say, why? Because children are a pretty good discerner of trust. I'll promise you. You just watch how a child responds to somebody. You'll find out whether you should be afraid of them or not. God wants to comfort you as you hurt and grieve. There are people all over this room. I can tell the stories. That family. You all have lost loved ones in recent days. Matter of fact, Brother Roy, your wife's birthday would be coming up here in the next week or so, wouldn't it? Huh. Can I tell you something? God wants to comfort you. Brother June, you were back up in Michigan recently, and Daddy just had passed away and gone to heaven. And you know, when you lose your daddy, your mama... Brother Hiles used to say, when you lose your parents, you really grow up. Doesn't matter how old you are. I haven't done it yet. But I hurt for you. I saw how it affected you. I'm thinking, I'm going to face that one of these days unless the Lord comes back. I thought of Miss Kim. Good night. 40 years old, your sister-in-law? 40-year-old sister-in-law was murdered 2 weeks ago. Cold-blooded murder by a boyfriend that they found 6 days later had shot himself. Miss Kim and I talked about this. I said, what a shame. Two families now affected. How sad. Can I tell you something? I don't always have the right words. But I know this, God's arms do. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. You just got to snuggle up and say, God, would you hold me for a while? God, would you hold me for a while? I was thinking of Ashley and her grandpa dying and going to heaven. I told her, I said, I don't have all the right words to tell you. I said, this is a time as a preacher I fail because I can't tell you anything that's going to fix it or change it. I can just tell you, we love you, God loves you, and we're going to get through this. Too many of us, when God wants to put his arms around us, Brother Stoltz, come here for a moment. He's going to be the old parent. I'm going to be the teenager. Amen. So many times the parent comes to the teenager to give him a hug. Oh, I don't need that. Oh, Mom, you got to do that in front of people. You got to do it at all. Dad, I'm getting too big for you to hug. If you get too big for your daddy to hug you, you're too big. Have a seat. I'll tell you why. Because God wants to hug you. I love that man right there. My dad. I am unashamed at 50 years old and him considerably older. Unashamed to give my father a hug. I'll tell you what'll turn you. You go to a funeral like I've been to. Man passed away in his teenage son. I think it was actually a daughter. I don't remember which. It was one or the other. It was before the day they didn't know what they were. But I'm pretty sure it was a teenage girl. She had had a fight with her dad, screaming and hollering, been living a rebel life. And her daddy just suddenly passed away. That teenager came to the viewing. I've only seen this once and hope to God I'll never see it again. That teenager got up in that casket with their daddy, saying, Daddy, please, please put your arms around me one more time. Grabbing those cold, dead hands, trying to get them up off the corpse to put them around her neck and said, Daddy, please, just one more hug. Can I tell you something? You can't hug in death. I never talk on the phone. I never talk in person to my wife, my parents, or my children. And oftentimes to most of you without saying, I love you. Can I tell you why? Because they don't know when the last time I can do it is. Brother Joe, in January of 2001, on a Friday morning, I was in Brother Hyle's office. Stayed back after prayer time to ask him a question, and he said, Craig, I'm having trouble with my back. Could you pick up my briefcase and put it on the desk for me? Yes, sir. Picked it up, put it on his desk. I said, anything else? He said, well, I need this move, but I can get... I said, no, sir, let me do it for you. I talked to him. I started to walk away, but as my habit, I said, preacher, I love you. He said, I love you too, Craig. I turned and walked out of his office. 3 hours later, he was at the hospital and had a heart attack earlier in the week, and he died 10 days later. Last words my mouth ever spoke to Jack Hyles were, preacher, I love you. I want the last words on my lips to be, I love you. Let me ask you a question. Why do you push God away when he wants to hug you? We need a revival of young people and children hugging their parents. We need a revival of parents willing to hug their children. Unashamedly. I'm not talking about some perverted, sensual way. I'm talking about a real Bible kind of love. Good night. My dad's almost 80 years old. I'm not afraid to hug him. I'm not afraid to hug my mom. She's not that old, but she's getting closer. I'm not afraid of it. Say, well, preacher, you're an old man yourself. Yeah, and if you get too old, good night. My grandma's 99 years old. She'll be 100 in April. Her arms don't work anymore, but mine do, and I can give her a hug, lightly. Squeeze her too hard, she'll break in half. But may I say this? I'm not too big to hug my grandma. We need a revival. Now, listen to this very carefully. We need a revival of spouses hugging one another truly each day. There's a lot of people that struggle in their marriage, and I'll tell you why. They don't hug each other every day. I'm going to be out of town for a little while hunting. Say, preacher, what are you going to miss? You going to miss church? Yeah, but I'm going to miss my wife more than anything. I don't think in the 28 plus years we've been married, I've been away from her for this long. Ever. First time in 28 years I will have been away from her that long. Say why? I like being home with my wife. You might not like yours, but I like mine. You need to feel each other's love and security and comfort. Good night, that lady and I have been through heaven and hell together. We've been through sickness and health together. We've been through the words of our oldest when he was 4 months old. He's not breathing. We'll try to keep him alive till he get here. Hurry up. We've been through 3 weeks of life support with him. We've been through the death of her family members and death of my family members and death of people that we love closely. And we've been through all kinds of things. There are days I come home and my wife will look at me and she said, I just need you to hold me. Great, no problem. By the way, man, you need to learn to be able to do that and not be offensive. They need your comfort. They need your security. And by the way, you need to learn to get alone with God and say, God, I need you to hug me. We need to learn to hug those that need it. Same gender, please. Now, ladies, I'm not going to walk around church hugging everybody. My wife hugs you. I'll hug you, fellas. But I ain't hugging unless you're almost old enough to be my mama or younger than probably about 8 years old. I'm not hugging you. Say why? Because I think that's the proper thing to do. And it's not because I don't love you, ladies, but she'll take care of the hugs. I'll take care of the rest. All right? Just not going to do it. Now, some of you are about as old as my mom or close to it or just like my mom. And you might, if you saw me walk up and hug Miss Waller or Miss O.C., you're not going to have a conniption. They're old enough to be my mom. One is. now, wait a minute. I have no problem with that. But I think there are times, there's times I've called my wife. We've been at church and said, could you go talk to such and such lady because I think she needs a hug? Or could you go talk to so-and-so teenager? I think they need a hug. I was principal of Christian schools for many, many, many years. And I used to say, my secretaries are in charge of hugs and drugs. I'll take care of the rest. But I'd be counseling in my office and have a teenage girl in my office. And I'd call one of my secretaries in and say, here's so-and-so. She needs a hug. Would you hug her? They'd hug her. I'd let them get it out of their system. Secretary leave and I finished the appointment. I wasn't going to hug them. I didn't get up, didn't move from behind my desk, had no plans to. But every once in a while, somebody needs that. You know, and I don't think the ladies ought to go around hugging the men, and the men ought not go around hugging the ladies. I've been in some of those churches. Back off. Man, I was in a church down south like that. I mean, everybody was hugging everybody. I was like, ooh, this is not going to be good. And when Sister... You know who comes up and she weighs 14,000 pounds and she wants to, oh, Lord have mercy. She pick you up and shake you like a soda bottle, you know. I don't think it's healthy for teenagers to be running around hugging each other unless girls and girls and guys, we don't hug each other. Amen. Thank God. Malachi, come out of here for a second. But I'll show you how I'd hug a teenage guy, walk up and do something like that. That's called a man hug. Now, if I run up and say, "Oh, Malachi, I need a hug," that's exactly what I expect. Thank God he has that reaction, Neil. You did good, amen. Have a seat. He couldn't get out of there fast enough. Don't worry, it wasn't coming. You have no fear there, amen. None. Yeah, hugging Malachi doesn't make me tingle. Ain't no man in the world ever made me tingle. If it does, take me out back and shoot me. But may I say this? There's every once in a while that boy's going to need that. Sunday nights I let all the kids 6th grade and under come to my office and I give them Skittles. Say why? Because I want when they're after 6th grade, I want them to know that the preacher loves them and it's okay to come to my office and talk to me because they've been there so much. And I want to tell those kids I love them. I look forward to Gus coming to my office and trying to get in the Skittle jar more times than he should. I enjoy Wyatt coming to my office. But every one of them, thank you. Everyone, I don't have to tell them. And if one doesn't, I'll say, excuse me. Thank you, preacher. Now, wait a minute. I love those kids. That's my way of saying I love you. I decided a long time ago I'd hug my daughter every day. And if I hugged her good enough, she's not going to seek some toe-headed idiot to get it. Now she's at college. And she's got a toe-headed idiot. But he's still not allowed to hug her. That is one thing I can do that he cannot do. Ha, 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 ha. You know, my daughter this week, I said, I still can do some things Brandon can't do. I said, I can hug you and I can kiss you. She said, yuck, Dad. I said, yuck me or yuck him? She said, yuck him. Good. Glad you still feel that way right now. Now, she's just saying that to make me feel good. Wait a minute. But I decided I'd love my daughter so much, she's not going to settle for some punk rebel. She's going to be so used to a man taking care of her, she wasn't going to settle for no jerk. And by the way, he had to be pretty tough to get through me. My wife will tell you, she thought I hated the kid for the first 3 months. I said, no, I don't hate him. But if he can't get through me, he doesn't deserve her. Now, my daughter says he defends him more than he defends me. There's times my wife said, you're harder on her than him. Well, I'm on his side, don't worry. I'm on her side when I need to be. Now, wait a minute. I wasn't mean to him. I found out later he was scared to death of me. He ought to have been. First picture he ever got from me was something I had shot and killed. Not kidding. I said, I know how to shoot what I'm... I know what to hit what I'm shooting at. Don't mess with my daughter. He found out. I figured if he could put up with me, he got half a chance with her. Now, wait a minute. He still got to meet my dad. Brother Mike will tell you, when he went up for youth conference last year, I said, I want you to meet him. I said, put screws on him a little bit and see what he's made out of. I said, he's tough enough, he'll take it. And he was. Say, how do I get a hug from God, preacher? He gave you his words. Most of you have never read it enough to understand how God could hug you through the Word of God. Say, where do you go when you need God, preacher? The Word of God. Run to the Psalms. If nowhere else, run to the Psalms. He'll express his love to you over and over and over and over and over and over again. Run anywhere in Scripture, he'll show you. The loss of a loved one, don't run away from God, run to him. Loss of a parent or a child or a loved one, don't run away from him, run to him. Get bad news about your health, run to him, not from him. dear friend, Brother Rick Walter, up in Maine. Cancer. Losing his hair this week. You know what he told me? He said, my resolve to go soul winning is better than ever, even though I can't go out, but I'm going soul winning at the hospitals when I'm in the hospital. He said, got a new ministry. It's the hospital ministry. Whew. Somebody speaks mean to you. Somebody hurts you. Run to God. Quit running your mouth about it. Number three, God has everlasting arms. Can I tell you something sweet? Look at me. God's not going to die. Buddha died. Muhammad died. All the other false gods, they died. Jehovah did not die. Jesus died for 3 days and three nights, but he got up out of the grave just as much alive as he did before he died. Can I tell you something? God's hugs are never going to give out because he's never going to die. And God doesn't age like my grandma that can't get her arms up to hug me anymore. You can't go far enough away to be out of God's reach. You can refuse to let him hug you. You can refuse his advancement with his love, but you cannot get far enough away to be out of his reach if you're one of his children. Too many of you are walking away from God. Look at me when I'm preaching to you. Huh. Some of you are like this. Just stand there. God wants to hug you and you won't do anything. Just nothing. Did you ever try to hug somebody who just stood there and did nothing back? That's the way many of you are with God. You've treated God that way. He's put his arms out every church service you've been to during the preaching of the Word of God, and you just stood there, emotionless and not moving. I'm not doing anything. So you young people grew up in church, and you get that look in your eye of rebellion. Start running with the wrong crowd. Be back tonight. We'll talk about that. Say, what's happening? You just stand there while God hugs you. You won't hug back. How do we feel God's everlasting arms? Number one, rejoice in your salvation. Get saved. Can I tell you something? The best way to get a hug is trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't have to die and go to hell. You can trust Jesus Christ. Your sins will be washed away and you'll be forever one of his children. You can read the Word of God, the King James Bible. By the way, that's why all the fake Bibles have all the fake churches. And it's fake love. You can pray. You know, you can talk to God just like you talk to anybody else. You can go to church. Yeah, you know, you won't find a better loving group of people than you will inside the walls of this church. Promise you. Good night. You show up at the campfire and listen to how snotty we are with each other. Like a bunch of brothers and sisters. Amen, Miss Kim? Good night. This is a place of love. You can go soul winning. You can tell somebody else how to stay out of hell and become a child of God and be one of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Huh. God will not die. His words will not die. And his church is not going to die. I'm done. Let me say this. Brother Rick, God opened his arms at Calvary. Let him put his arms all the way out on an old rugged cross. Nailed him to a cross. He was letting the whole world know his arms are wide open for him. He loved us so much that he opened his arms for the entire world, no matter how bad they were, to die for him. Oh, in spite of your sin, and actually because of our sin. Brother Fred, tough and as hard-headed as you were, God had his arms open for you one day. Sitting there in the living room one day, you bowed your head and trusted that those big old tough arms that you didn't think would ever hug you. But they did. Take you to heaven. Just wanted you to know. One of the sweetest verses in all of Scripture. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Let me ask you a question. If you died today, are you sure you're going to heaven? Let me ask you a question. If you're saved, Has there been a, how long has it been since you hugged God or let him hug you? How long has it been? How long has it been since you hugged the person that you love or the people that you love? Those everlasting arms are there for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I won't lie to you. I won't lie to God. I know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out. But you'd say, preacher, I don't know that, but I'd like to know someday. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. All right. Who'd say, you may put your hand down. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, something I needed today. I personally needed that. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Hands everywhere. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano will begin to play. If you raised your hand a moment ago and said, preacher, something in that sermon I needed, you either take a knee where you're at or come forward and use the altar, you come. If you raised your hand and said, preacher, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die, I'm going to have somebody take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. I won't embarrass you, but we want you to know for sure you're going to heaven when you die.